Welcome to this week's Crowd Church service. We are a digital church on a quest to discover how Jesus helps us live a more meaningful life. We are a community, a space to explore the Christian faith, and a place where you can contribute and grow. Our service will last about an hour, and in a few seconds you'll meet our hosts for our service who will introduce today's talk. After the talk, we will have a time of worship and reflection, after which we head into Conversation Street, where we look at your stories and questions that you've posted in the comments. Now, we want to invite you to connect with us here at Crowd Church, and we've got a few ways in which you can do just that. Firstly, you can engage with Crowd from any device during our live stream, and if you're up for it, why not invite a few friends over and experience the service together? You see, church is all about connecting with God and connecting with others. And one of the easiest ways for you to do that is join one of our midweek groups where we meet online together to catch up and discover more about the amazingness of Christ. You can also subscribe to our fairly new podcast called What's the Story, where we deep dive into stories of faith and courage from everyday people. More information about all of these things can be found on our website at www.crowd.church, or you can reach out to us on social media at Crowd Church. If you are new to Crowd or new to the Christian faith and would like to know what your next steps to take are, well, why not head over to our website, crowd.church/next, for more details. And now, the moment you've been waiting for is here. Our online church service starts right now.
Evening all.
Good evening. Nice to see everyone.
Yes, we were just saying as the sort of the music was building, it felt a little bit like, oh, someone should be like doing our makeup and getting ready for
going live. That itself as a news anchor, yeah. Everyone.
But, I need some papers to go. Trevor McDonald. For those not in the UK, you'll have to YouTube Trevor McDonald. He's a legend.
So, Palm Sunday, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Happy Palm Sunday, everyone.
Yeah, it's...
Out
it came out my right ear then. I might have to go like this.
We're really slick.
Yeah.
We're really slick here on Crowd.
I know. Palm Sunday. So the week before Easter.
Yeah, 1 week to go.
Yeah. So next week John Harding is going to be talking, doing an Easter service for us, which would be
Easter
awesome.
Special.
Yeah.
That would be good. So a pause from the usual series that we've been following. But for next week.
Easter's whether you follow like the Christian calendar or not, Easter is the most important thing that ever happened to this world, isn't it?
It's
really,
kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. Yeah. Oh man.
Somebody send Dan some new earphones, everyone. He's going to be
tiny little ears, and these are made for Matt's perhaps slightly bigger ears. I need to get some smaller earbuds. They just don't fit in.
It's what you call first world problems.
It is, yeah.
So what's happening today then, Dan? Tell us.
Yes. So today Matt is talking to us about acts of service, following on in our series.
Awesome.
So yeah, really looking forward to that.
That's going to be good. That's going to be good.
And as we mentioned, next week, Dave Connolly, Matt gave us an incorrect order last week. I was about to do the same thing this week. So Matt talking this week and then John Harding. Next week, Easter, and then Dave Connolly. After that, we'll be continuing the series.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm having earbud problems now. It's catching.
It's the talking as well. Makes your ears move, and then they just... Isn't this coming?
Do your ears move when you talk? Maybe.
Say, yeah.
Tell us, everyone. Anyone watching out there, tell us. Do your ears move when you speak? I don't know. Yeah. These are the important issues that we cover off in Crowd Church, aren't they? Anyway.
Yes. Well... Good to see people on the comments. Yeah, Matt says, any monitors we do.
Yeah.
I'll get some molded to my ears, to my tiny ears.
Yeah, maybe that's the solution. So.
Have you had a good weekend, a good day today?
I have, yeah. You know what? Like, yesterday we hung out with some friends, Jack and Jenny, who are some of the pastors in our church. Their little boys, the same age as our little boys, yeah. So that was nice hanging out. Today we had church this morning, and
you were saying it was a very busy service, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really busy because there were some baptisms.
Yeah, quite a few. There must have been, my wife said there's about
20
or more. Yeah,
I'm not quite sure how many.
Yeah, we in our church, we've got our congregation, then there's a Polish congregation and an Iranian congregation as well. All normally have different services, different times, different languages. But we all came together for the baptismal service, so it's quite
really busy.
Yeah, quite.
And there was lots of extra guests as well. Yeah. They'd come just to see friends and family get baptized. Yeah. But I mean, we should probably add that they're separate services because of the language.
Yes, we don't.
So they're
Iranian
speaking. Yeah. It's not that Iranians can't come to the
no,
English speaking church. Yeah. It's just that
it's a language thing.
Yeah, language barrier thing. Yeah. So that was good. And then this afternoon we just kind of been hanging out and chilling at home. But yesterday. Also did some skiing with my little boy. He's learning to ski at the moment.
Very nice.
On the indoor ski centre in Manchester near us. Yeah. So yeah, that was fun.
Proper snow. Proper indoor.
Yeah, indoor snow in Manchester at the Chill Factor. So yeah, product placement for the Chill Factor. Sorry, everyone.
Crowd brought to you by indoor fake snow.
Can't we? Maybe we get free passes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're deviating off the point.
I think we
should probably play the video.
I think we should play the video. So we're going to play the talk now from Matt. If you've got any questions, please just send them in and we'll endeavour to answer them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Post if you have any thoughts.
Further ado, I'm going to use this box here rather than clicking the mouse. Check me out.
Do it.
Have you ever found yourself in a place you never expected to be, only to discover it's exactly where you needed to be? Well, I have many times. Like, for example, when I took a gap year before heading to university, I ended up volunteering at a place called Nazareth Children's Home, which is in North Carolina. Now, I was not a Christian at this point, but if I look back, I can definitely see that God orchestrated the whole affair. I got to hang out with and serve with these amazing kids and staff, but these kids, for whatever reason, couldn't live with their families. And it wasn't where I personally planned to be. It wasn't where I expected to be, but it was where I needed to be, because it was here that God met me and I became a Christian. It was in this place where my personal journey to wholeness began. But it all started with me serving. Now, Paul, when he wrote to the Philippian church, wrote this. He said, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant." Sometimes, you know, when reading scripture, all you can do is just go, wow, right? We are told as Christians to have the same mindset as Jesus, which tells me that's possible. Another story, but the same mindset as Jesus, who, though he was God, and let's face it, that's a pretty big deal, still made himself a servant. Regardless of our position, we should still take on the position of a servant, which is a pretty powerful statement. So serving then is a transformational journey that shapes who we are and aligns us to the heart of our servant God. And so that's what we're going to look at today. I want to ask a few questions like, how does living a life of service contribute to our spiritual formation? How does it actually make us whole? Why is Jesus so focused on us serving others? And what does living a life of service actually look like in the day to day, especially if we are busy and maxed out already? Can I get an amen? Now, these are all great questions, right? Because when we understand the answers, Man alive, do we start to see how serving is essential to becoming more and more like Jesus, to becoming more and more whole as it transforms both the server and those served. That's what I discovered in North Carolina. I helped the kids, but I got transformed in the process, right? Which all sounds fantastic, but I think we can often find ourselves in places where what we do just sort of seems to vanish into the ether, where what we do goes unnoticed or maybe even unappreciated. Ever had that happen to you? I know I have on a regular basis, where maybe the thanks I thought I deserved didn't come to pass. But, you know, we've all been disheartened, haven't we? We've all been discouraged because what we do goes unnoticed. We don't get that thanks that maybe we thought we should get. In fact, we can often get the opposite. We can get complaints. And this may be because, right, we have poor boundaries in place. So if that's you, I recommend reading Henry Cloud's book, Boundaries. And yes, it might also be our managers, you know, whether at church, whether at work, who might be utterly useless in positive affirmation, in terms of positively affirming what we do. But often, I find it comes down to my motive. And this is an ouch, because motive starts in my heart and not in the thanks that I think I should get. Sometimes our motive might be seen, or sorry, let me put this a different way. Our motive might be to be seen. This is what Cesar Kalinowski calls the do-to-be lie. If we head back, for example, to the Garden of Eden, the devil promised that if Adam and Eve did something, they would be something. Eat the fruit and be like God. Do to be. And it was a lie, a massive lie, that Adam and Eve bought hook, line and stinker. Line and stinker, I like that. And we are still doing it today. Now, we find ourselves believing that our worth is measured by our works, our identity is shaped by our achievements, and that we have to do something in order to be something. That to be someone of value, we must do more, serve more, achieve more. But when we believe that, it feels like, well, it feels like we're on a treadmill that goes faster, the faster that we go. And we're trying to keep up, but it's going faster and faster and we're going nowhere. And so we're stuck, exhausted and unfulfilled. Here's the thing. Adam and Eve were already enough. God made them enough. He has made you enough. We don't serve to earn God's favor and hope that if we do enough good things, God will make us righteous. That's the do-to-be lie. I have to do to be righteous. Instead, God flips the whole script. And he's already made us righteous. We talked about this in the series intro, in the very first episode of this whole Becoming Whole series, for very good reason. God cannot love you anymore. He is maxed out already. So we serve not to be, but to genuinely help bring God's kingdom on earth. So how does then living a life of service contribute to our spiritual formation? Let's look at that, because as we read through scripture, we see that serving others is not just about the acts we perform, but it's about the transformation that happens deep within us as we serve. What happened to me in North Carolina, which is good news when you think about it, because as we are talking about serving in the context of wholeness, serving then becomes key. So whole people serve, and people who serve become whole, as serving is established on two key principles of the kingdom of God: humility and love. The Bible tells us this, to serve one another humbly in love, Paul talking to the church in Galatians. Now, humility then teaches us to look beyond ourselves, to see the needs and the values of others as equal, if not more important than our own. Then there's love, the driving force and motivation of serving. Love gives without seeking anything in return. It's as though God is using our hands and our feet to extend his love to others. We get to be a part of that, which is incredible. It's a privilege. And I don't always see serving in that way. If I'm honest, often it can feel like a chore. So I have to remind myself that what I'm doing is a privilege. And it is, in fact, very, very godly. That's why serving is a key contributor to spiritual formation. It challenges us and it gets rid of our inherent selfishness by replacing it with a spirit of generosity and compassion. And as we serve, our motives are refined, hopefully, and our character is shaped, hopefully, and our relationship with God is deepened, which all sounds wonderful. Jesus put it this way. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's a powerful statement, isn't it, from Jesus? Again, you just got to go, wow, right? Jesus tells us that greatness is all about serving, which kind of turns the whole success ladder on its head, doesn't it? The way up in the kingdom of God is, it seems, astonishingly down. The highest honor is achieved not by towering over others, but by lifting others above ourselves, which is, as they say, revolutionary. So what does Jesus mean by this phrase, being great? If you want to be great, well, in God's kingdom, it's someone who is esteemed and excellent and splendid and stately, according to Strong's. Love that. Splendid and stately. Essentially, it's a person who is biblically whole, trusted and used by God for his plans and purposes, which as Christians should be, in theory, what we're all after, right? So what would our world look like if we pursued greatness, wholeness, through serving? What would my life look like if I truly got a hold of this principle? And it's a hard, hard question to ask yourself. Because even knowing that we might be taken advantage of, Jesus still challenges us to take the leap, that biblical wholeness is about giving first and letting God take care of the rest. To serve is to love, and to love is to serve. So, why is Jesus so focused on this whole serving thing? Why is this a big deal for God? See, from healing the sick and feeding the hungry, to comforting those who mourn, to washing his disciples' feet, Jesus's every action reflected a heart devoted to serving others. I have not come to be served, I have come to serve, he said. Now, these are the words that Jesus said to his disciples after famously washing their stinky, dirty feet. Now, let me tell you, it does not sound fun today, does it, washing somebody else's feet? But it was definitely not fun back then when you think about it, open sandals, everything that would be on their feet, if you know what I mean. Don't want to spoil your dinner, but I would not want to wash those stinky, dirty feet. But this is what Jesus said after he did that. Do you understand what I have done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so. That is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life. So, in other words, right, Jesus was so focused on serving others because he wanted to lay down a pattern for us to follow. Why? What he did? Why we should do that? Why should I wash somebody else's feet? I mean, not necessarily walk down the street washing other people's feet. You get the point, right? The one task that no one wanted to do, Jesus did. And it's that, the humbling of yourself. Why? Because when we do, we are blessed. In other words, we find wholeness. Serving transforms the server and the serve. It's a double whammy, a genuine win-win. We bless others, and in so doing, we are blessed, we are transformed, we become whole. That's why Jesus was so focused on it, to help you become whole. So what does living a life of service look like in practical terms, especially if we don't have the time? It's a very genuine question, I think, in the modern age. Now, I know that many of us want to serve as Jesus commands us to, right? But we do live in this world which spins faster and faster with every passing day, where the proverbial New York minute, if you like, is now a global phenomenon everywhere. We are working longer, we are working harder, and it is relentless. So we feel guilty for not spending enough time with the kids, or we don't have the energy to hit the gym. We have priorities and commitments coming out of our ears. So how do we even begin to think about finding the time to serve? Well, the very uncomfortable truth here is that we have to come to terms with, we all have the same 24 hours in the day. We are all equal in terms of time. Time is not affected by my position, by my race, by my gender, by my nationality. It's not impacted by any of that. We all have 24 hours in the day. Once it's spent, it's gone. And there is no secret out there that is going to give us more time. So what that means is I have to be intentional in how I spend my time. In other words, I have to prioritize. And let's face it, we don't like the word prioritize. I don't, because it means making choices that I don't really want to make. Normally, prioritizing means giving up something good now for something hopefully better in the future, right? It could mean different things, different people, I suppose. But in my head, and if I'm really honest, I can get all kinds of creative with my excuses, you know, about how this whole thing doesn't apply for me. I can spend some time and come up with something great. Like, I run my own business. I work crazy hours. I already do this over here. Or I need some me time, you know, some me time. I have to take the kids to football training. I mean, the list is both endless and actually quite genuine, all legitimate. And there are definite seasons that I think we go through in life where we have to pull back from other things. I get it, and I think it's essential that we do that. God's okay with it. I have those same internal battles all the time, but I do have to be honest with myself about them, and I do have to be intentional with my time. But beyond that, I think Jesus shows us something a little different. I think he shows us that serving others isn't just about finding more time in our already packed schedules. It's about serving in the moment. And we have those every day, all the time. Jesus's ministry was often about moments of genuine connection in the midst of his day-to-day journey, whether it was a conversation with a Samaritan woman at a well or a healing as he's walking to a different destination. Jesus showed us that to serve can and should be part of everyday life. And it's in these small acts of kindness and the moments of listening that we find some incredible opportunities to serve. So serving, I don't think it is just about what we do between the hours of, I don't know, 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. on a Thursday night at our local church, or maybe on a Sunday morning. They may well be events that we could sign up for and help with, and maybe we should. But I think serving is much more about prioritizing time, and it is about prioritizing the person in front of us in that moment. So practically, what are some of the things that we can do? Well, I think we start by asking ourselves three questions. Number one, what has God put on our heart to do? Number two, what are the talents that God has given me? And number three, where can I help in a Christian community? So first, ask, what has God put on my heart to do? Then I think you look for areas in your community where you can do just that. And this can be super practical, like Matt, who is often on the live streams, will go litter picking in his local neighborhood. Dion serves with sign language. You could visit or befriend the elderly or the sick, or help single parents who are struggling to cope with life by cleaning their house or babysitting. The list is endless because there are so many people around you in need right now. There just is. The second question, what are the talents that God has given me? Well, me, I think I'm okay at the whole business thing, having done it for a while. So I can serve in that area and mentor others. But what about you? What are your gifts? Sharon, for example, is awesome at teaching English. So she gives her time to help refugees and asylum seekers learn the language. But she also goes beyond that. She helps them move furniture and fill out forms, all super practical stuff, but often requires her to do stuff out of her working hours. Now, I know if you're a self-employed electrician, for example, you have to charge money for your services as you have to create an income. I appreciate that you might want to keep work separate from everything else. That's totally cool. It's not a hard and fast rule, but I do guarantee that there is someone in your community who needs your help and who can't afford to pay you. So the question is, could you help? Definitely no pressure, just a question. So finally, we then ask ourselves, where can I help in the Christian community? You want to serve the Christian community, right? But you want to serve the wider community. You want to serve both, okay? As this demonstrates, I think, the love of God, both inside and outside the Christian community. And again, it doesn't have to be super complicated. Oh, no. When our kids were born, for example, the church community were wonderful. For several weeks, people would bring a meal to our house every night, and they would come in and do all kinds of things like cleaning, for example. And that was such a massive blessing, simple and practical. So my advice is this, to me as much as you, help where you can. Roll up your sleeves and get stuck in. Prioritize your time and give some of that time back to God. Bless your local community and fellow believers and see what happens. And of course, one of the biggest acts of service is simply to pray for people, to connect with them and then see how they are doing, to encourage them. The Bible talks about the ministry. Ministry just means to serve, by the way. It's just a fancy word for serving. So the act of serving through helps, through being generous and through being an encouragement. Always we can serve. So here's my challenge this week. Over the next 7 days, do what I, well, what I'm now calling a serving audit. This isn't about crunching numbers like an accountant. No. This is about introspection. This is about asking God in prayer if there's anything your service to others that needs tweaking. That didn't make sense. Is there anything in your serving that needs tweaking? That makes more sense. Or perhaps maybe God's got an entire new serving venture for you. Maybe he's nudging you towards something different. Write it down. Write what God is saying and share it with us. Keep your eyes peeled and your ears open to the needs of those around you. And when you spot an opportunity to do good, don't hesitate. Embrace it. Do one small random act of service this week. At least one. You can do more. Don't just do one and stop. I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? And if you haven't done so already, for some more information on this kind of thing, I would recommend wholeheartedly listening to episode 22 of the What's the Story podcast, where I got to chat with Ed Walker, who heads up Hope Into Action, about how serving can take you on a whole new life adventure, let me tell you. Now, I don't know about you, but I am enjoying this series on wholeness. It's been great. It's been edifying, it's building me up, and it's deeply challenging all at the same time. It tends to be what happens when you get into the things of God. But I tell you what, I just see Jesus in the whole thing. And I'm looking forward to what's coming up. So make sure you subscribe if you haven't done so already. Head to our website, www.crowd.church, and fill in the little email form, and every week we will email you the notes to the live streams. Don't want you to miss any of them, right? So just sign up with your email and you'll be cool. Now, before we go, one final story, because why not, right? after university, I volunteered again. I took another year out and I volunteered for our local church for this year. And I just graduated in accounting. I'd been a Christian 3 years at this point, right? 3 or 4 years. And so I volunteered for the church, got involved with the church finances. amongst other things. And I love that year, despite not really having any money, if I'm honest with you. It was an experience that was both transformative and deeply satisfying in ways that I hadn't really anticipated, if I'm honest with you. But here's the kicker. It was during that year that I met Sharon, the wonderful woman who would become my wife. It was during that year that I got to spend time with her as she was doing a year team with the church. It was in those moments that God spoke to me about going out with Sharon. Now, if you know the story, sure, I engineered a few things along the way, but, because that's just who I am. But let me tell you, if I hadn't have served, I don't know if we would have spent that time together that we did. I mean, dating apps are okay, but for me, it was in serving that I met my future wife. Something that I'm grateful for every single day.
There we go.
Yes.
That was a great talk, wasn't it?
There's a lot in there.
Yeah, I always love
my fingers talks. Are like aching from notes. Yeah. I wrote a load and then I slowed down a bit.
Scribbling, and I didn't even come with a pad of paper tonight, so I've just had to rip a piece out of his. Yeah, there was so much in that. I always really enjoy it when Matt speaks, because he does pack a lot of content into a short talk, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But what really struck you? What's one thing that jumped out at you, Dan?
I think again, just going back to, well, you said it well, while Matt was talking, you spoke to me and said it is very, Jesus was counterculture.
Yeah.
Imagine a leader now. Imagine Prince Charles, Rishi Sunak just saying, oh yeah, you know, I'll come round and clean your floor.
Yeah.
You know, I'll come round to do clean your feet. Or saying, as an employer, we shouldn't be telling the employee what to do. Mm. I mean, it's just if you're an employer and you show your employee that you can serve, how much more are they gonna want to work for you? It makes sense, doesn't it? Even though it's upside down to what we normally think.
I think at the same time, everyone loves a leader who walks the talk.
Yeah.
You know, like people love a salt of the earth leader who's like a person of the people who like will get down and do the ordinary things with their staff.
Yeah.
As well as like sit in an ivory tower. And I think those kind of leaders are often respected, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because they know how to do that.
Yeah. There's in the UK and probably all over the world, you'll have these different types of TV programs, and in the middle, like it might be X Factor or something like that, in the middle, they'll have this sort of emotional piece about this person who, I just used to stack shelves, and I don't want to do that anymore, and I was a cleaner, and I don't want to do, now I'm a superstar. I get the chance to do this.
Star.
And to me, I always see that and think, nothing wrong with stacking shelves. There's nothing wrong with being a cleaner.
Yeah.
It's great to do a job and do it well.
Yeah.
And I think it's just turning those things, what we're always taught, oh no, you know, go for the better life, go for the bigger job. Serving's awesome. And there's some jobs which are naturally, that is what you do, isn't it? Mm. You know, it might be cleaning, might be doctor, something like that. It's more of, yes, you're getting paid for it, but it is more of an act of service.
Yeah, but I think I always think of nurses. I mean, I work in the health service, so you know, I'm not a nurse, but I work alongside a lot of nurses, and I just always think they're incredible people who don't get paid ever so much, but just serve people all day long.
Yeah,
I know you get paid, but it's not easy, and
it's
quite humble work in a lot of ways. I just think there's a lot of amazing people out there that are really good at this. But it is very countercultural, really, isn't it, in terms of what we're taught, like by our culture, like you say, go for the big job, earn lots of money, you know,
have someone to do all the menial tasks.
The people that we really look up to are the people on stage with a big platform, a big online following. You know, it's you know, when I love that verse that Matt started with that says, do nothing out of selfish ambition.
Yeah.
And I just think, wow, it's just such a high order, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, so much of what we do is selfish ambition. Like, we want to be have a nicer house. I want to have better quality of life. I want more money in the bank. I want to be more comfortable. Yeah. I want my kids to go to a better school or live in a better neighborhood or, you know, all of that. None of those things are wrong in themselves, but they all are kind of...
It's where is your
ambition,
motive? Where is your motive?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's about the heart. I think that second part, like, consider others more highly than yourself. Mm. That's the bit that matters, isn't it?
I think at the end, I wrote it down. In the UK, we always say, like, instead of, if I saw you in the street, I'd say, "Hi, Anne, how are you doing?"
Yeah.
And you'd say, "I'm fine."
Yeah.
And we are fine, thanks. And that's the conversation. We ask a question, how we're doing, and we all reply, "We're fine."
And you don't really want to know because nobody's got time to listen. Yeah.
And I just thought in that, when Matt was saying, what could we do this week in serving, perhaps I could be a bit more intentional in my questions and in my listening. So when someone says, "I'm fine," just ask another question or how's work been? What have you done? Just to move that conversation to be in an automatic response to actually caring and spending time thinking about someone else.
Yeah, because when we talk about serving, like Matt did make this point, we often think about doing the big things, like it's great to do those big projects, go and, you know, volunteer for a charity or a soup kitchen or, go and feed the homeless or help with some like youth work or something big. But it's also those small moments. And I think that came across really well in this talk, that you can actually really serve people and encourage people and make a difference in someone else's day in those small moments. Yeah. But I think so much of it is about being present. Like, it's about, again, that intentionality, isn't it? I think that word was mentioned. And I think in order to do those things, like ask people how they are, you've got to be more present in the moment. And I'm terrible for this. Like, I'm always kind of like half here, half checking emails, waiting in a queue in the supermarket, but also doing something else on my phone at the same time, catching up with something else. And then I'm not fully present to the person that's serving me. Yeah. And I'm not having that conversation because I'm also somewhere else. And that for me is a massive challenge in our culture and in my own life. That if I could just be a bit more present in the moment, I might not miss those opportunities just to serve people in small ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you read the Gospels, there's so much out there where Jesus sees people in that moment, doesn't he? He doesn't ignore them. He doesn't ignore the lady that came and just gave that small amount and put it in the in the synagogue for her gift. He wasn't just in his own world. He was watching all those little things that happen. And that's something that struck me. I thought, I need to be more present. And we have got loads of excuses, and lots of them are valid, you know. In our working day, there's lots of things going on and we're thinking about other stuff. But sometimes there are times when that moment could be given over to the person that we're with or we're standing next to. We don't have to fill our time with fail videos or cats or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I think if we're all totally honest.
Or Candy Crush Saga. In Matt's case.
Yeah, Candy Crush. I got mentioned. I agree. I think if we're all totally honest with ourselves, you know, we're all busy, aren't we? We're all super busy, but also we all waste some time. You know, you and I are here tonight in Crowd Church and we could be doing something else with our families this hour, couldn't we? But we've chosen to serve in this way. And that's, you know, because we've not wasted this hour doing something else.
And it's amazing that God, he asks us to do things and asks us to serve, but there's always something that there's that phrase, I don't know what the parable, you can't do anything completely selfless because it always gives back. And serving is one of those things. No matter what you do, you always learn. at the very least, you learn from it, don't you? Or yeah. you might, like in Matt's case, you might find yourself a wife. Or even doing...
That would be a good result,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah. Doing this for me, I'm not an outward person. I'm not very good with my words. And I've been able to serve and do something. But God's helping me and I can use these skills in other places. It's helping me finish my sentences. I have to actually keep going and say something and not mumble, which normally I do if I'm talking to people. So, you know, different
you
things come
out.
Yeah, no.
I loved what Matt said actually about that whole thing of we serve out of love and out of that overflow and overspill of what God's done for us and his love. And so, you know, we're transformed and we want to partner with him and transform the world around us. But I also love the fact that he said that there is that transformation in us that happens as we serve, that we become whole by serving. And I think that's really true. Like, I wondered if have you got any examples of, I suppose that is one, isn't it? In a small way of how you grow when you serve or you learn new things.
Yeah, definitely.
I wondered if you'd got any other examples of that.
Putting
you on the spot.
On the spot. I suppose, I mean, one thing is that if I hadn't served in different ways, I wouldn't get to meet people.
Yeah,
I'd very easily could just be quite insular. Mm. For me, it's very easy to sit in the corner of a room and just...
You're more naturally introverted as a person,
But serving and having to go out there, having to do... So at church, I'm in control of the PA on certain weeks. Mm-hmm. And it means that I have to be out there and telling people, you know, oh, okay, I've got to sound check you, got to do this.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can be... It's great to be able to serve, but it also has taught me to be more forthright in what I'm saying. And it's great to be able to do. And I've never come away thinking, I wish I didn't.
Yeah. Volunteering almost always gives you an opportunity to grow or learn new skills or develop some area of your character or your expertise, I think. But I also feel like when you serve in kind of a context with God, like, is also an opportunity. I think Matt touched on this, for it to like transform your heart as well. So I think of an example when our church Frontline used to run a outreach to street sex workers and homeless people called Streetwise. And I used to go out once a month on this van, and we used to give out like food and hot drinks and stuff to women who were out on the streets at night. And I think, you know, that experience put me in a scenario meeting people who's, you know, I would never meet people like that in my normal, you know, day job, in my normal life. And it gave me something that was totally out of my context and normal life, but it also taught me to love people who really different to like my life and had a really different background, and to actually see, you know, who they were, and just to have it really gave me a compassion that I didn't have before for people who had a really tough background. Like, made me realize how blessed I was to have the start in life that I did, coming from a like loving home, but also gave me so much more compassion and grace for people who struggle in life because perhaps they've come from really broken backgrounds. And I think when you serve in those kind of, particularly out of your comfort zone, it can't help but change you and change your heart. And I think God kind of grows and enlarges our perspective, and that's a really good thing.
And God is love, isn't he? You know, I wrote that in capital letters, that we're here because God is love.
Mm.
And sometimes people don't see that God is love. They might see preachers. They might see people preaching at them. They might see in the media what could be the truth, but to them it's just, it's hitting them in the wrong place. Yeah. I used to help run, we'd give out teas and coffees to people at night time in Liverpool till about 2 a.m. So people going clubbing, those that were homeless as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the clubbers would be like, why are you doing this? Why don't you just give it to those who are homeless? But they'd love having a hot cup of tea or coffee and say, well, God, you might be going out for a fun night out, but God still loves you.
Yeah.
And we'll happily talk to you and tell you about Jesus, but we'll happily just say, here, have a cup of coffee. Yeah. And it's just a different experience of who God is.
I loved what Matt said at the end about like kind of doing a serving order, you know. That's a really good idea. I think somebody said, was it Nicola in the chat, said before that sometimes when you serve you can feel like you're a bit taken advantage of, or people use you as a bit of a doormat, and I think that can be true. It's sad when it happens, but it can happen. And but I think that was a really good point that Matt made, which was that it's good to have a regular audit of your service and what you're doing. That's not just about, you know, that is bigger than just looking after number one, like yourself.
Yeah.
And I really like the idea of kind of going away and thinking about it prayerfully, regularly, and saying, well, how much of my time am I serving others, and in what ways? And is this still working, or do I want to serve somewhere different for a while? And how do I want to invest my time? Because we do have finite time, don't we? But we get to choose how we invest every hour, every waking hour of our day. And I know we have to earn money and pay the bills, but outside of that, in our personal time, it's up to us how we spend it. And I really like that idea of sort of going away and sort of thinking what's working.
I'm
what's
definitely
not.
Gonna do that this week.
I'm gonna do that too. I think it's good.
Because
you can't just keep on taking more and more.
No.
I mean, that's the point. Like, we all have a limit, don't we?
Yeah, which I think I might see if that book's on Audible. I do a lot of all my books when I'm driving around. Boundaries.
Yeah.
Because I think we have to be careful, because if we're just saying yes to everything, then we will get burnt out. And, but it's about always listening to what God's saying. Yeah. If he says do something, then we better listen up and do that. But don't do stuff just because doing things won't get you closer to God.
Yeah.
Like we always say, you're good enough. God can't love you anymore. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. You know, he loves you, the ultimate price he paid for you. So doing things won't save you anymore. But to do stuff just because we can and because we love others is just, that's what he wants us to do.
I guess it's that do things out of love rather than do things to be loved. Isn't it? It's a subtle difference, but it's massive as well. Like, do things because you know you're loved by God, not to earn God's love, because you already have it. And I think it's motives so important to consider, isn't it?
But
also not making excuses, like always saying I'm too busy or I haven't got time, because we all know that we could spend less time scrolling on social media and watching Netflix and what have you.
Well, all these
maybe
talks,
that's just me.
All these talks the last few weeks have me and Matt talked, and Dave Connolly did the talk about fasting. And it's the same. He's asked us at certain times to fast and do things, but that fasting doesn't save us. It's a request at certain times to do. It's not we don't have to do so many fasts, you know, tick this off. I've done five fasts, therefore I'm a bit closer. We can't make ourselves good enough. It's only God that can make us good enough.
Yeah. But with serving, I feel like Matt said, it's a real privilege. So it's like, it's not that I have to serve, it's that I get to serve God. And that is actually a privilege. It's a fun thing. Like, I love doing this. I love, you know, some of the other ways I serve through the week. I love different things I do and different acts of service. You know, I love that I get to partner with God in small ways. You know, that is a privilege. Like, and I don't have to do it, I get to do it. And that's great.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Active service audit, I think.
Yeah, everyone
this week.
Do one this week.
And next week we're gonna hear from John about Easter.
Yeah.
And there'll be lots of Easter eggs around, lots of chocolate, but not very much talking about the real Easter. So come along and have a listen to what this...
When you're in your kind of chocolate coma around 6 p.m.
Come and see what the real reason, the new life, not the little bunnies and eggs, this transformation life, the life that can only become, that can only get through Jesus dying for us.
Yeah, Resurrection Sunday next week. And then also we've got a midweek alpha, haven't we, at the moment that's running, which we should probably plug before we...
So if you're interested in alpha, interested in finding out more about Christianity, becoming a Christian, then just go to crowd.church, sign up, and we'll send over the information.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a course, and it's just...
Yeah, and you can jump in. You don't need to start at the beginning. You can always catch up and just jump in wherever you are. So,
and I think it's basically like a short talk on a subject like prayer or how do I know God is real, or just basic questions about Christianity for people who want to just learn a bit more. And then you get an opportunity in a small group to have a bit of a discussion about it afterwards. And that's great because everyone comes with a different point of view, and you just get to thrash around questions.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we're doing now, but a lot more interactive.
In depth.
So, Alpha's really good. I haven't done one in years, but I did do one a long time ago. And I just think it's really helpful, really worth doing.
Definitely. And if you've got any prayer requests, please send them in. Mm. Lots of people have sent in requests, and we've got a WhatsApp group to capture those and to so we can, as hosts, we can be praying for you.
Yeah.
Please do. We'd love to. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you enjoy podcasts, we should also mention the podcast.
There's plenty out there.
Check it out.
Hours.
As well. Yeah. It's new. We're releasing probably a new podcast every week or so where somebody just talks about their life story and some really great ones out there. So if you're looking for podcast content, something to listen to in your week, check that out as well.
Subscribe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So lots of good things going on.
Yes.
And Max Crees just added, have a great Easter, everyone. The story doesn't end on Friday. Sunday is coming.
Indeed. Love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, thank you very much, everyone. And we will see you next week.
See you next week, everyone. Take care. Have a good week.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Crowd Church. Now, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button as well as that little tiny bell notification to get notified the next time we are live. And of course, if you are listening to the podcast, the live stream podcast, make sure you also hit the follow button. Now, by smashing the like button on YouTube or writing a review on your podcast platform, it helps us reach more people with the message that Jesus really does help us live a more meaningful and purposeful life. So if you haven't done so already, be sure to check out our website, www.crowd.church, where you can learn more about us as a church, more about the Christian faith, and also how to connect into our church community. It has been awesome to connect with you, and you are awesome. It's just a burden you have to bear, and hopefully we'll see you next time. That's it from us. God bless you. Bye for now.